News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got to do a radio show here. In this hour, we're going to start with an El Paso History Moment, written and produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso County Historical Commission. Her story today is about Susan McGoffin and her diary.
Susan McGoffin from Kentucky was the first Anglo woman to document her adventures along the El Camino Real de Tierra Adentro. In one chapter, Susan wrote that when she left Santa Fe on October 7, 1846, with her husband Samuel and headed south toward El Paso del Norte, they stopped for a while in San Gabriel, New Mexico. But in January 1847, they heard news of a rebellion at Taos, which Susan wrote of as a perfect revolution. Soon rumors came that the population of New Mexico was rising between us and Santa Fe, and in truth, we were flying before them and were in a state of constant fear as we passed through the Ordeña del Muerto, or Journey of Death, a hostile and waterless stretch of desert. Upon reaching El Paso del Norte in February of 1847, Susan was greatly relieved and impressed with the community, with its many orchards and vineyards, and the civilized manners and learning of their Mexican hosts. They stay with priest Ramon Ortiz y Mira before departing on their final leg of the journey to Mexico City. This was an El Paso History Moment. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso County Historical Commission.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
You go online, you'll meet Susan McGoffin right
there.
That's
right. She's go to Keystone Heritage Park. You can go hang out with her. Have your picture taken with her. It's a beautiful statue.
That's where she is. Now, the Susan McGoffin is a monument, I guess you would. They're calling
it's one of the 12 travelers.
12 travelers.
Right. And you've got what, Father...
Oh, you're going to try to do all four of them?
No, I'm not.
Pinto.
There's not four of them, is there?
Oñate.
There's only three.
McGoffin. And somebody.
No, that's... Oh, they're working on...
Juarez. Benito Juarez.
Yeah, Benito Juarez.
All right, so this is the El Paso County Historical Commission doing this through... That's who you're volunteering for to do that.
That's right.
Their major meeting is the second Monday of every month. What about that?
That's a wonderful time. It'll be the next one will be Monday, November 14th at 11:30 a.m. And it is going to be held at the Paso del Norte Bank and... United Bank of Paso del Norte in downtown. Call Bernie Sargent at 581-7920 for more information.
I'm going to have to go rewrite that.
You threw me off. But well, yes, that's
downtown
United Bank, Maine, and
Paso del
Kansas
Norte,
Street.
Maine and Kansas. And
that's a great bank.
They're the ones that have that big, huge bank vault in there that's not a really...
Oh, so cool.
It's an object now. It's not really in use because you can see the other side of it. But that's the cute part. You can see what those big old wheels and dials on that door did.
Yeah, and the artwork he's got in the bank, all historical pictures and
Les
some
Barker.
Great work. Yeah, that's Les Barker. Great
cool.
guy. Hey, Les.
Oh, we thank him for what he does. He allows that crowd to meet down there
that's
in
right.
their boardroom. We get to act like we're big people.
Yes.
It's really cool.
Woo-hoo.
All right, moving on to the reality at hand. The McGoffin home in El Paso is what a lot of people know about the name McGoffin. There's a school
right.
named that. The man was a mayor for four terms, give
Joseph,
or take.
Joseph, yes.
Joseph. But the deal today is, how did all that happen? Why did that family... McGoffin is an Irish name.
Who was Joseph's papa?
Well, il papa, here it comes. So today we're going to talk about James Wiley McGoffin.
Yes.
And if you go in the current McGoffin home above the piano, there is the main portrait of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think there's much else ever been shot or taken. The cameras weren't really running around in that era. So today we want to welcome into the radio program a guy who has been studying the father. And his name is Dr. Cameron Saffel. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome here.
Good morning, Cameron.
Glad to be here.
And you have done some serious research. Was this for a PhD?
No, I've been working on MacGoffin research for about 10 years.
I thought so.
Well, Leslie Bergeloff became the site manager at the MacGoffin Home. She enlisted me to help.
Well, you have an interesting history because you're assistant professor of museum science and a curator of history at the Museum of Texas Tech University.
Red Raiders!
Hey! You're an historian of the American Southwest. And from 1999 to 2012, you're curator of history at the New Mexico Farm and Ranch Heritage Museum. So that was your big look at the Southwest. But now you went back home over to Lubbock. So you've been 10 years researching the MacGoffin family, and you're focusing on patriarch James Wiley. Now, earlier this year, you had an article examining Wiley's role in the U.S. Army conquest of New Mexico in 1846. A lot of El Pasoans don't know that that's what the guy was doing. And that was published in the New Mexico Historical Review and an all-exclusive, all-MacGoffin issue. And you had other people in there who were also writing stuff. Happens to be one here. Let's talk more about that. But Dr. Cameron Saffell, what do we need to know, should we know, about this period of history, about this man, James Wiley MacGoffin?
Well, James Wiley came to this part of the Southwest when he moved to Chihuahua sometime in the 1830s and began trading on the Chihuahua and Santa Fe trails. And he was joined to other people, both Mexican and American traders who are working from Chihuahua City to Santa Fe to Independence, Missouri, and back and forth. And he did that from sometime in the 1830s up until the Mexican-American War in 1845. He aided the U.S. Army in the invasion of New Mexico and at the beginning of the Mexican-American War. Was going to come south and help General Wool with the invasion of Chihuahua. Basically, MacGoffin was enlisted as an emissary to negotiate things and smooth the way for the American army. So they didn't have to come in and fight. It'd just be, hey, you guys, big army coming behind me. You really ought to just, you know, lay down your arms and not fight.
Well, that worked in Albuquerque or Santa Fe. Which one?
Worked to a degree in Santa Fe, yes.
So MacGoffin, James Wiley, rolls in there and says, "There's a U.S. Army's right behind me. You guys really ought to let them in, otherwise they're going to kill all of you." Something like that.
He's saying these sorts of things to Manuel Armijo. Now, he gets a lot of credit for having been the person who made it all possible. And the article I did this year in the New Mexico Historical Review actually tries to get in behind that and look at actual sources from 1846 and say just exactly what did James Wiley do.
Well, what happened? Which is correct.
Well, he came in, and he is one of several voices talking to the New Mexico governor, Manuel Armijo, saying, big army coming, really don't want to mess with this. But initially, Manuel Armijo was bound and determined to go out and fight. And he's actually has the army stationed outside of Santa Fe in the pass.
Ready to go.
And they're ready to go. And then the night before, Armijo sort of reassesses the situation, and depending on which version of story you're reading, whether it's the Armijo version or the Citizens of Santa Fe version, they basically all say, you know, maybe this isn't such a good idea after all, and Armijo withdraws south.
So he was thinking about doing it.
Yeah, yes. He wrote a new will before he went out to the canyon. So
good old James Wiley managed to talk him out of going to battle.
Yes.
Bizarre. Did that happen a lot in the Old West? I mean, I'm not familiar with this.
Not necessarily, but, you know, and what I got into is whether what did James Wiley really do? And it's kind of hard to tell from the historical record because it looks like he came in. He is just a voice in Armijo's ear, but Armijo is going to go out there and do it anyway.
Well, you better think twice.
But there's stories that MacGoffin bribed Armijo to leave town. There's no evidence of that. There's stories.
Oh, that was the rumor. They
right.
paid him off.
They paid him off.
Nah, the guy.
And see, Armijo gets a reputation after this as being a coward.
Okay.
He fled in the face of the army and stuff. And actually, part of what I talk about is he probably was making a very rational military move because he thinks, from what he's been told from his Mexican officials, that an army is coming up from Chihuahua and El Paso del Norte to help defend the frontier.
So he thinks he's going to be able to pull it off.
He's going to withdraw with his 260 men south, join the rest of the Mexican army, and the American army is about 5,000 men.
And where were they at the time?
They were, at the time he withdrew, they were already past Las Vegas, headed down the road.
New Mexico.
Las Vegas, New Mexico, headed into The Pecos area, and then so, into Apache Canyon.
So he probably knew that, like, okay, they're really coming. But he didn't know were the guys from the south really coming.
No, he didn't know. He had been told they were coming.
Right.
But he gets down here, and he actually gets down into the area around somewhere, Brasito probably, Doñana is probably where he met up, and finds that the Mexican army is actually only about 600 men.
And so, did they come with the bow and arrows this time, too?
Probably did, yeah.
Because when they fought Donovan right at the same place,
yes,
they had bow and arrows.
Yeah, it was...
And rocks and sticks.
And that's part of what Armijo had, was that he's got the local militia in Santa Fe and lots of volunteers. He issued a call for volunteers and everything, but they aren't armed with anything. They don't have regular rifles and munitions. And
again, what was the year on this? This is
1846, right at the beginning of the Mexican-American War.
Did the U.S. roll in with automatic weapons, or did they just have rifles?
They were just a fully armed army, and it was volunteers on the American side, but they've got a certain amount of training.
Well, I'm trying to remember what kind of weapons they would have had in their hands by then. By the way, we're going to have a show coming up in a couple of weeks on all the weapons of the West.
Oh, cool.
I mean, from Oñate forward,
yes,
up to missiles. I wonder how what are they going to do with those missiles. Anyway, back to your point. So you got Mr. James Wiley telling the guy in charge of New Mexico, you better think about not fighting these people.
Right.
So he goes down, he finds nobody behind him, then what happens?
Well, he continues, they actually go ahead and retreat further south, going back into central Chihuahua, and then regroup a little bit.
Probably a good idea, huh?
Right, and that's when it's, 4 months later, is they've got small forces that come up, and that's when the Battle of Brasito takes place.
That's when they had the bow and arrow thing going on.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So that bow and arrow thing.
But the key to all of this is that the story came out very early. 1850, a U.S. senator says, you know, the hero of all of this is James Wiley McGoffin.
Because?
Because he went to Santa Fe, and he writes up this big story making James Wiley the hero of all of this.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that I point out that many historians don't look at is that that particular senator, Thomas Hart Benton, had a thing about the U.S. Army commander, General Kearny.
What do you mean, thing?
He didn't like him.
Oh, I thought you meant
attracted. He had a vendetta.
He had a vendetta because Thomas Hart Benton's son-in-law was a Fremont who was in California. After Kearny left New Mexico, he went to California, and they had a big argument about who was going to be the governor of California, the military governor.
Yeah.
And Fremont actually is court-martialed by Kearny. And so Thomas Hart Benton has no place to say, oh, Kearny did this great thing. He went and took the army down there, and they took Santa Fe without bloodshed. He wants somebody else to get the credit. He gives James Wiley the credit.
Good PR man.
Yeah.
So you did this research because you were just interested in it.
Well, I got into that particular part of the story.
Let me see that book.
Because part of the narrative is that has been in place for about 100 years is that James Wiley McGoffin was able to make this transition in Santa Fe because Governor Armijo was related to James Wiley's wife.
Yeah, well.
And, you know, and it was like, uh-huh. Okay, and so back into the McGoffin research for the McGoffin home, okay, well, if there's some relationship between Governor Armijo, who is from New Mexico, and Maria Gertrudis Valdez, who is originally from San Antonio, we're missing something in the genealogy here.
Uh-huh, so you figured it out.
So we start digging through it, and, you know, and I actually have a five-generation chart proving that the closest relationship they would have been like third cousins or something, and it would have been back in Spain or something.
Interesting history.
They were not related. So,
but you have put this in your article, is in the New Mexico Historical Review. Is this available to the public?
It is. You can contact the New Mexico Historical Review offices in Albuquerque at the University of New Mexico and get a copy.
UNMPress.com.
I believe that is correct.
I'm reading it off your book, dude. Yep. UNMPress.com, and that is where you can get this. Now, we're going to come back after the break and talk more about it. We just barely got into it. But you have one article here called The Mexican Side of the McGoffin Family by Rick Hendricks.
Yes.
Now, isn't he like a state historian?
He is the state historian of New Mexico and one of my partners in this research.
He was in here not long ago. A re-examination of the Bloodless Conquest of Santa Fe by Cameron Saffel. That would be you. And then Leslie Bergloff writes this one, Evolving Interpretation at the McGoffin Home State Historic Site in El Paso. And then another one, a photographic essay that you two did.
Yep.
That's in here?
Yep.
I don't know. There's them photos. Okay. And then... interesting stuff here. So this is available. How much? I got to ask. How much you charge for this?
It's not my journal, so I don't know. I want to say it's maybe $15 an issue.
You and Impress. Ask them. Okay, how big is it? That's how big it is on the radio.
I'm going to put a picture of it on Facebook.
Put a picture of it on Facebook. Maybe we'll sell a copy.
And where can they get this again?
You and Impress on the back under your thumb there. Look at that. See down there?
The University of New Mexico Press.
Yeah, big stuff.
And they have a website at unimpress.com.
Go there. We'll sell
it's
a book or two for
$24.95.
No, that's the thing up at the top.
Oh, sorry.
That's another advertisement.
Never mind.
We'll figure it out, but it's worth it. Just because nobody else has compiled this kind of history.
No, this is the first time that Rick Hendricks' research on the Mexican side of the McGoffin family has been published anywhere. Talking about where exactly all of the family members are from, how they're related to each other.
Let me guess. Leslie had something to do with getting you all to do this.
I kind of wrangled her into
it.
We did a panel at the Historical Society of New Mexico's conference in Las Cruces in 2013.
And that started, okay.
And then the editor of the New Mexico Historical Review attended the session. He is a Mexican-American historian, war historian, so he was interested in my presentation. And he was just, wow. And said, let's do a whole issue about the McGoffins and all three of you submit your stuff.
Now, we all have our own disciplines of how we think and how we look at the world. You are an academic kind of guy, and you went and researched this and figured it all out.
Yes.
I would like to see the movie.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Of James Wiley McGoffin doing this. That's where I come from. I want to see the movie.
You betcha.
Maybe I'll have to do one. I don't know. That sounds like work. Melissa, you ready for something exciting?
Sure.
Okay, what is it? you don't have anything?
No.
I just thought I'd stir you up over there.
No, I'm busy doing Facebook and pictures and everything else. But
do we want to
do a trivia?
Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay.
We got some trivia here.
Okay.
Where'd it go?
I have it. Yes, I do.
Okay, where is it?
Okay, our trivia question for a $20 gift certificate for Pepe's New Mexican Food up there in Canutillo, or one of the wonderful El Paso Gold DVDs, Mount Crystal Ray went away, Gunfights of the OS, Ghost Stories, Waco Tanks, we got all kinds of them. So when So the question is, where is the statue of Susan Shelby McGoffin located in El Paso?
Don't say it! They know it.
We did say it earlier.
We had it on the radio.
That's right. This is a test.
I know where it is.
And you'll win with this test.
Well, I've already got the DVD.
Yes.
So enough of that. All right. Call us up and you can win one of those if you know the answer of where is Susan Shelby McGoffin, one of the 12 travelers.
That's right.
How far did she travel?
She traveled a long way.
And you know what? Just as a clue, she's right on the trail that she traveled on.
That's right.
She is. So there. Call us
up.
And
I love to get kids there and tell them the story about Susan McGoffin, and they're just amazed when we give tours out there. So
there's a bunch of stories about her that are just unusual. All right, back to the reality. Call us up.
915-544-5876. 915-544-KTSM.
Want to see what you'd look like if you had a flatter belly? Now's your chance, because for a limited time, we're giving away free trials of Somabiotics, the new discovery that flattens bloated bellies fast. But hurry and call now while we're still giving it away for free. 1-800-900-3213. Strict limit of one free trial per household. These free trials are reserved for anyone, male or female, who's looking for maximum belly flattening in minimum time. Somabiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. So just think how much better you'll look and feel. Want to see what you'd look like with a flatter belly? Now's your chance. But hurry, call now for details while we're still giving these trials of Somabiotics away for free. 1-800-900-3213. That's 1-800-900-3213. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-900-3213.
This isn't just a commercial. It's a gift to anyone who's sick and tired of dealing with their hearing loss. Because we'll give everyone who calls a free trial of a life-changing hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. Not only that, we'll also give you free shipping and free batteries for life. But you must call now. 1-800-913-2759. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Listen Clear is so small and discreet, most people won't even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. So if you're sick of dealing with your hearing loss, let us give you a 100% free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now, 1-800-913-2759. That's 1-800-913-2759. 1-800-913-2759.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-788-0662. That's 800-788-0662. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-788-0662. 800-788-0662. That's 800-788-0662. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
My only question about James Wiley McGoffin, is that where Wiley Coyote got his name?
No,
I really don't know.
Not the same.
We'll get to that in a minute. In the meantime, let's talk about all kinds of other stuff going on here. We have coming up on the radio program next week, the Women's Club of El Paso. They turn 100 in their building. The place is even older. The club is older than that. But there's a special meeting on the exact anniversary of the day they occupied that house 100 years ago. And Mary Rayleigh is going to join us on the radio show to explain the latest film that you and I cook up. And hour two next week, Bernie Sargent's coming in. He's our guest to talk about the El Paso.
He's going to be here?
He thinks he is. Well, I think he is. Do you think he is?
I'm just kidding.
But
I don't keep track of him.
It's on hour two of next week. If you're looking for your husband,
he'll be right here.
And he'll be talking about stuff from the commission, what they've been doing. There's a lot of activity going on with the Historical Commission. And we'll see how that's looking out. November 12th, War Eagles Air Museum coming in on hour one. And that's the Museum on the Mesa. Let's see what they have going on. Second hour, November 12th, John Middaugh. He's going to arrive in the second hour and tell stories he has either lived, seen, heard about, or maybe he dreamed them up. But he's got interesting stories about history and West and horses and stuff. November 19th, we talk with a company that came to El Paso with the railroads in 1881. And that company is still here today. They've been involved in every aspect of El Paso history over the centuries, actually centuries. And now they're going to be in the studio to compare their history with that of El Paso because they were here basically for all of it. And so they are the second law firm ever formed in Texas, the first in El Paso. We will welcome attorneys Mike McQueen and Joe Hammond from the law firm of Kemp Smith.
Cool. November 25th, what were the weapons that settled the West? From the time of Oñate to the guns that are part of the westward expansion of America. We talk with Rod Linkus, El Paso County Historical Commission member, and Scott Drake, who owns Drake Fine Sporting Arms in El Paso. We will also review Mexican Revolution weapons. Then December 3rd, McGoffin Home is having their holiday celebration, and that day we will hear about it on 1 hour. Hour one.
Hour one.
But I need to go back to bed. Can I go home and go back to bed?
I guess so. I mean, what the heck? You know, but the thing is,
nobody will miss me at this point.
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting. This guy has this company called, it's his name, Drake, Fine Sporting Arms. Now,
Yes. You
have an art gallery, and then you have a fine art gallery. Then you have a gun store, then you have a fine gun store.
Oh, there's some wonderful fine guns out there.
Apparently.
I see them all the time, yes.
Anyway, we get these guys here to talk about all that. And then the McGoffin Home, December 3rd, we're going to talk about them. But in the meantime, mm-hmm. We've got McGoffin Home.
The beginnings of the McGoffin family right here.
Well,
for
you know,
El Paso.
It's an interesting history because a lot of people, Cameron and I, you and I were talking about this before the radio program this morning. about how some people do not understand the point of having a MacGuffin home. And let's just talk about it briefly. We need to take another break before we come back. But the point is, it is a Mexican household.
Yes.
I mean, how else can you define the place? Joseph himself was born.
Just was born in Mexico.
In Chihuahua. Yep. His mother was from Chihuahua.
His mother was from, actually, San Antonio.
Chihuahua. No, I make that part up. Forget the Chihuahua. But his mother was a Mexican-American Tejano at that point.
Yes.
In that part of Texas.
Exactly.
So three-quarters of the lineage was Mexican.
That's correct.
And you have people to this day thinking, why do you give a hoot about that family from Ireland here with a house?
Right.
And that's the reason, is because it sort of symbolizes El Paso.
Yes. It's very borderland story.
And it's two
the
cultures.
The mixture of the cultures here in El Paso and how they built it together.
Exactly. So
that's the point of the MacGuffin home, and the fact that it is maintained and stayed here. And even the last family member left a bunch of furniture for the state to buy and turn on as a museum.
Right.
That's the point of that house. So take a look
at
that. We'll talk about that some more. We're going to come back and talk about more of James Wiley MacGuffin, what he got himself into.
That's right.
And we'll do that after the break. And nobody got the trivia.
The trivia question. I'll say it again.
Throw it out there.
I have to say it again. Where is the statue of Susan Shelby MacGuffin located in El Paso? We talked about it early on.
Now, she's the lady who was part of the family that showed up. But the big deal for her was she wrote a diary.
She was married to
Samuel MacGuffin.
It was James's sister-in-law.
That's right.
See?
The cozy little crowd
here. So many little touches here
and
in the Southwest.
Where is she? Where's her statue?
Where is it at?
She's
standing tall.
She's standing with
dog. With her dog.
She's got a
Mr.
dog.
Mr. Deal.
Okay, enough of that. But where is she? You call us up and you can get yourself some stuff here.
Call 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all. Plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Do you think identity theft is only when someone adds charges to your credit card? It's actually when someone pretends to be you to open new accounts in your name or any number of bad things. LifeLock can help. We use proprietary technology to alert you to a huge range of identity threats. And if you have a problem, we have a team of U.S.-based specialists who will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. Membership starts at $9.99 a month, plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com and use promo code NEWS to get 10% off.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, a crashing economy. Are you ready? At best, your local stores have a 3-day supply of food. Will your family have to fight over what's left? Are you willing to gamble your family's safety that it'll never happen to you? Be wise and be ready with 25-year shelf life Wise Food Storage. Wise Food Storage provides affordable, ready-made gourmet meals with a super long 25-year shelf life. Meals like pasta Alfredo, cheesy lasagna, breakfast, dessert, drinks, and snacks. Just add water and your family is eating delicious food instead of fighting for scraps in a food riot. Try it free. Order a no-obligation free sample meal delivered right to your front door. And for a limited time, get a 20% discount and free shipping on all orders. Once done, you're set for 25 years. Be wise and be ready with Wise Food Storage. Call for your free sample now. 800-836-8244. 800-836-8244. 800-836-8244.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson, paid for by Open Jar.
Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Could your house go into foreclosure?
Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home and you feel like you have nowhere to turn? Then we have good news for you. Homeowner Protection Services. Homeowner Protection Services can help save your home, and they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Homeowner Protection Services now at 800-230-6116. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Homeowner Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Homeowner Protection Services now at 800-230-6116. 800-230-6116. That's 800-230-6116.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, we got people on hold talking about where is Susan Shelby McGoffin located, the statue.
That's right, where is
she? And one of the callers is Susan.
It's Susan. She came back.
Can't wait.
It's the weekend of Dia de los Muertos and Halloween. Why not?
Just visiting, maybe. In the meantime, we're going to tell you, before we get to that, tell you what's going on this week only, in El Paso, Inc.
How El Paso's low crime rate stats compare with other bigger and smaller cities in Texas and the region.
What a big defense contractor is doing in El Paso and how it helps soldiers on the battlefield.
Why a local boy who made it big in Silicon Valley says he's bullish on El Paso, and why the city might have exactly what startup companies are looking for.
That's in El Paso Inc. online, elpasoinc.com. Also available for home and business delivery.
Call us at 534-4422 to subscribe.
Awesome. Yeah, and then there's this Celebration of the Mountains thing we need to talk about briefly.
Yeah,
Celebration, just Google them.
Yeah, Google. There's a calendar events going on all the way through the end of October and in a little bit into November,
They're hiking all over the place, and if you want to get out and see something in a group that knows what they're looking at, go with them, and
it's
CelebrationOfTheMountains.com. All right, this week only, ABC Extra talks about the controversy over athletes taking a knee during the playing of the national anthem. NFL players started this. Now there's been an instance of it here in El Paso during a high school football game last month. Also, a group of UTEP students plans a stage of protest tonight during the weekend's homecoming game during the national anthem. How do people in the borderland feel about this controversial protest?
You want me to tell you?
No. I want you to read the copy.
The program is live and interactive. You can send in your comment or question via email, Facebook, Twitter, or just give them a call. Stephanie Guadian hosts the Sunday's Extra at 10:35 p.m. only on ABC 7.
All right, getting to trivia right now. What do we got here? What's that question?
Where is the statue of Susan Shelby McGoffin located in El Paso?
In order of calling, Susan, stay on hold. Terry's on. Terry, good morning.
Hey, Jackson, how are you?
Good, thank you. How's it going?
Real good. Beautiful day.
What's new?
Not too much. I just wanted to see if I can answer the question.
Do you think you know?
Yes, I believe it's at the Keystone Heritage Park.
Yay!
You are so correct.
You are so correct. Did you just know that already?
No, I kind of had remembered that from what you were talking about.
So goes it. All right. Well,
he listens. He's a smart man.
Well, thank you for playing. You actually have a choice of either Pepe's $20 of food and or a DVD. We got McGoffin Home, believe it or not.
Ghost Stories.
Tom Lee's El Paso.
Gunfights of the Old West.
No, more Gunfights of the Old West. We got lots of gunfights.
I'm going to quit duplicating this. I'm reading these out.
So pick something you like there, Terry.
Let's see. Maybe Pepe's Mexican Restaurant.
All right. Pepe's
good,
for you.
Good choice. Yes.
We'll get you on the phone here with the control room master crowd here. And Shelley Sutherland will come on and tell you how to pick that. Hold on, Terry. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Hold on. Now, Susan, don't go away, Susan. Susan, is this the Susan?
Yes, it is.
Good.
The Susan Shelby McGoffin?
Well, maybe.
I didn't ask that. I know better than to ask that. All right. We got some more DVDs this time for you. Are you ready for another question?
Well, yeah, he answered my answer for me, so I don't know if I can wing this one or not, but go ahead.
You should figure this one out easy. Okay. Whoa, wait a minute. Yes.
What?
I'm looking as I just got lost.
What is it?
I need to go back home. What city was the home of James Wiley McGoffin's wife?
Now, there would be two answers, Cameron?
Actually, three.
We'll take one of three answers, so just give it a shot. Now, this is the guy's...
Spin the wheel.
Say the question again.
What city was the home of James Wiley McGoffin's wife?
We said it. Take a guess. Pick a city. Hello?
Hello, me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hell, I don't know.
No, it wasn't hell. Sorry.
pick a city on the Camino Real.
Las Cruces?
Wrong. But thanks for trying.
Thank you.
Get back on that trail, Susan.
You take her easy.
All right.
Bye-bye. We do need to thank the control room crowd in there because they put up with us and you, even though you're probably more polite.
Well, today, it's I just looked at Chihuahua, the way he had it spelled. That's what threw me off when I was reading the question.
Well, on the radio, you can spell Chihuahua any way you want.
Yeah.
Chihuahua. But anyway, thank you. Shelley Sutherland in there taking the calls and the abuse. And Seco Valenzuela, thank you very much, sir. We appreciate what you guys do in there, even though it sounds like we don't sometimes. Enough of that. Shall we take a break here or not? Oh, he says so. You can take a break here? Yeah?
Take a break.
All right. What's that number?
544-5876, 544-KTSM.
In places around the world, there are elders who long for community, connection, and the opportunity to live with greater dignity. Sponsor an elder through Unbound and help bring a brighter tomorrow to one person who has helped us all build a better world. Meet one at unbound.org.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-788-0662 now. That's 800-788-0662 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-788-0662 to learn more. 800-788-0662. That's 800-788-0662. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Be part of the solution. Spay or neuter. A single unspayed cat and her descendants can produce over 420,000 kittens in just 7 years, over 11 million in just 9 years. An unspayed dog can produce 67,000 puppies in just 6 years. Spaying or neutering prevents thousands of sad endings. Call the Animal Rescue League to find out how you can make a difference by donating or adopting. The Animal Rescue League of El Paso, 915-877-5002.
Get some satisfaction. Type in your favorite band, like the Rolling Stones, and boom, iHeartRadio creates a custom artist station that'll start you up. Remember, artist stations are commercial-free, always. Plus, the more you thumb up and down songs, the more iHeartRadio fine-tunes your station to help you get what you need. Oh, yeah. All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, all free. Listen at iHeartRadio.com or download our free iHeartRadio app.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we took a vote, and a couple of us decided lunch today is at the Angry Owl. Now, they're not a sponsor. We should try to get them to be a sponsor, but we're going to go up to the Angry Owl for lunch
good
today.
Food.
Well, it is, and they get a variety of stuff, and you can get what you want. All right, just to let you know, the New Mexico Museum of Space History, they're up to something. You know what they're going to do? Space History. They've got a new exhibit opening up inside an induction gallery. They're honoring... Oh. Drum roll, Gene Roddenberry.
Yay.
He's the newest inductee in the International Space Hall of Fame. They have an exclusive private opening of the exhibit. That's Saturday, November the 12th. That will cost you money. But if you want to go, you can get involved. And they're trying to raise money for the museum. Call them up, 575-437-2840. The event is called Cowboys and Astronauts.
Oh, I got to go. He was my favorite author. It got me into science fiction when I was about 12.
Well, you know, we claim him even though he was 2 years old when he moved out.
That's right.
I don't think he left a whole lot of legacy down in the flower shop that used to be his house. But other than that, we don't know anything about him. Good.
Okay. Dia de los Muertos today at Concordia Cemetery from 2 to 8 p.m. You can celebrate the Day of the Dead. They're going to have exhibits, entertainment, a special movie at 7 o'clock, which is not a movie. It's actually, if we can get everything right, the premiere of Ghost Adventures, Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures, that filmed at Concordia Cemetery and one other location in El Paso.
Live on the network tonight.
Yeah, in the cemetery. You can watch it. How spooky is that?
Well, can you bring your own little portable phone, and it's got capacity on
it? If they want to do that, yeah. But they'd rather watch it on the big screen, so
even
that'll be
fun. Huh?
But yeah, come out. It's going to be a fun time, and it supports Concordia Cemetery, and it's just a great event.
And that's when?
That's today.
Ah, cool.
Today at 2.
One thing to tell you, you've got your Sunset Film Society going on, sunsetfilmsociety.org. That's at the International Museum of Art. They always got something interesting to do on Saturday. Coming up, November 26th, Blazing Saddles. Can you imagine that on the big screen? I don't think I want to touch that one. All right, Dr. Cameron Saffel is here. We are looking at the McGoffin home differently because of you, I think.
Mainly because of Leslie Bargoff.
Well, Leslie was the biggie because she came in, Texas Historical Commission, the Texas State decided to remove the ownership or the management of McGoffin Home from the parks to the history people. And here come the researchers. One of them is you.
Yes.
So what'd you find out? There's a big stuff going on. McGoffinsville?
McGoffinsville is part of what I've been trying to research the last year. And some folks think that the McGoffin Home and McGoffinsville are the same thing because it's the same name.
Yeah.
Very logical. But the McGoffin Home is built in 1877.
Right.
And McGoffinsville is James Wiley's home in the 1850s mainly.
Was it in the same location or was it farther down?
No, it was about a half mile to the east of the McGoffin Home. Basically, the corner of McGoffin and Willow was about the center of the plaza that was there.
That was in what year that he started the McGoffinsville or arrived in that sense and started his ranch?
We think it was 1849.
So that's at the same time the Concordia, the Stevenson's family.
Yes,
they were kind of neighbors.
They were neighbors. Yes, he had Stevenson's on one side, and he had the Ponce de Leon grant on the other side, which is downtown El Paso. That was going through several hands right about that time in the early 1850s. Went through Smith and Coon and a couple of others.
Did Wiley use a land grant, or did he just buy the land?
He bought the land. He bought land script in Austin and then came out and...
From whom?
Railroads?
No, it was actually...
Way before the railroads.
Land warrants from people who had served in the Texas Revolution. And they were all given X number of acres to be able to claim as public lands, and these guys sold their script. And
well, they determine which acres it would be? Or was it any acres?
It was any acres.
Oh.
So McGoffin, you know, had basically certificates to get 1,280 acres and came out here and talked to the neighbor and said, okay, so where do you think your property ends? And he started there and came back to the east.
Cool.
And towards Concordia, but didn't get all the way to Concordia.
Yeah.
And it was... That particular parcel that he got, it was 1,280 acres. It was quite a large...
I'd like to look into the relationship between the two, Stevenson as well as McGoffin at that time, what their ranching relationships were, liked each other, whatever.
Well, when was Concordia a thing?
Concordia was 1842, 40s? 45. Yeah.
So 40s. It was already there.
He was there not long before. I think he was there before McGoffin.
That particular settlement. Now, Stevenson and my research I was doing this year up in the Mexican Archives of New Mexico in Santa Fe, Stevenson was taking some wagon trains to Santa Fe and Independence. I found a record for that in 1833.
So they were competitors.
Kind of, yeah.
I guess on the trail back there, the whole competitor business wouldn't be a big deal.
No, because there was literally hundreds of different wagons and people that were trading.
It was a freight industry.
It was a big freight industry. Because, I mean, it's not like they could run down the corner of Walmart and get something.
Yeah.
Well, the corner Walmart was in Santa Fe.
The corner Walmart was in places like St. Louis and New York.
Oh, even further than
Mexico.
Even further
away.
Mexico City.
Santa Fe was just a turn in the road.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Interesting stuff here. All right. The whole idea of the MacGoffin home, it needs to be understood better by El Pasoans. And one thing I've been harping on for a long time, once I figured it out, is that we are not taught our local history in El Paso in the public schools. Now, the people who go to the private schools or people who are homeschooled, I happen to know they're buying my DVDs to teach their children.
Yes.
So we're finding that out. That's how I know.
Yes.
Because on the other hand, public school, some occasional librarian will, like at Moreno Public School here in El Paso, the woman said, we need these for the kids. She bought everything out of her own pocket, I think.
Wow.
And then she put them out for the kids to see.
Yes.
That's what's wrong with the formula in El Paso. If you were able to create what you could in these children of information and what they knew, they would be ambassadors for El Paso.
Oh, yes.
They would tell you about the MacGoffins.
Yes.
But now, I was 50 years old when I got back to El Paso. I still wasn't sure who those people were until I started looking into it.
Exactly.
So that's the problem, Cameron, we have here. And I want to thank you for going back into the research to figure out some of the connections of the people.
Yes.
Because now we know that Stevenson and MacGoffin were contemporary. I hadn't even thought about that.
Right. And that's part of what I was looking at in this research, is I've been looking at the MacGoffins now for about a decade. And you know, any historians in the last 100 years, they see MacGoffin somewhere and they go, ah, that's an important name.
But why?
Well, and then they have to get into it. But part of what I was wanting to look at was the MacGoffin Associates. So they don't necessarily, they see the name Isaac Leitner and go, oh, well, that's just another American.
But you know him as?
That's James Wiley's brother-in-law.
Oh.
Charles Richardson.
So there's a lot of,
you know, Joseph's cousin.
Connections everywhere.
Yeah. All right. And so that's what I was wanting to really get into, is to see, is there more records there of people like Jose Cordero in Chihuahua, the prominent merchant and briefly governor of Chihuahua, who was James Wiley's business partner? Is there stuff for Leitner? Is there stuff for any of these people that were family members, associates, you know?
Have you ever had any conversations with the local relatives of the MacGoffin family?
Yes, yes. And, you know, lots of it through the MacGoffin home. One time Leslie and I were on the radio show several years ago and had somebody call in that was related through the Stevenson side of things. There was...
There's several of those here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And one of James Wiley's sister-in-laws from San Antonio, her son came to El Paso and married into the Stevenson family. and so that is Joseph's cousin, literally. And so and there's lots of these family connections. And the Valdez family, Louis Valdez, Gabriel Valdez, Carmen Valdez Leitner, they were, particularly after the Civil War, they all moved across the border to El Paso del Norte, and they lived out the rest of their lives there.
Was it James Wiley's property that was taken in the Confederacy?
Yes, that was one of the parcels that was taken.
So when Joseph got it back, he had to buy it?
No, it was simply undone.
Oh.
Because
the deal was undone.
The deal was undone.
Really?
Because in the land seizures were James Wiley MacGoffin, Simeon Hart, Josiah Crosby, all of these people, Stevenson, they had to go back through the court system and appeal, basically. And there is a Supreme Court case called Simeon Hart versus United States, which was undoing all of this.
Seriously.
Dr. Cameron Saffo, we're going to have people get your book in University
Press. He's
going to
come back and talk about that
more stuff,
Supreme Court case.
Because we have to get out of here for now. It is the time on the wall, according to my clock.
Oh, my gosh.
Ah, yes. Next week, come back and do this again.
Come see me at Concordia Cemetery Day.
Concordia
Dia de los Muertos.
Today. Angry Al for lunch just to do it. Otherwise, ephistory.com for the details about the radio show and this podcast. So we'll see you there on the radio.
Adios.
Next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's new Mexican restaurant and cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.